Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seats with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you from Earwolf Studios in Hollywood. So you might hear some sirens in the background because there's a lot of siren activity in the Hollywood area. Before I introduce my guests, my in-studio guests, a few things. First of all, the Comedy Death Ray auctions have closed, and the winner of my auction, my two auctions, are Sean Sakamay. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He won the opportunity to be a guest on this very podcast in the future and help me select who the other guests will be on that episode. And the guy who won the other one, Eric Cupo, I think is how you pronounce it, C-U-P-O, he and I will see a movie together, and he lives in Wayne, New Jersey. He's going to come into Manhattan, though, and see a movie with me. So that worked out pretty good. And those guys bid $1,680 and $2,275 for those opportunities. And I agreed to match up to $1,000 on one and up to $2,000 on the other. So that means I owe $2,680, and it's all going to the L.A. Food Bank, which is a great cause that Comedy Death Ray supports. I had a great time in Tampa last weekend. We played the Leonard Maltin game Sunday night. It took three challengers to beat Graham Elwood, and then they beat him to death. So rest in peace, Graham Elwood. New York this weekend. I'm going to be at the Gramercy Theater at 4:20 doing the Marijuana Logs, which one of my guests at one time was a fill-in performer in that. And then at 8 o'clock, I am taping a very special podcast with very special guests. It's taping a podcast in New York. Everyone's always begging me to do it. Now I am, so come and see it. LiveNation.com or Ticketmaster.com for tickets. I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv December 26th, the San Francisco Punchline December 28 and 29, West Palm Beach Improv New Year's Eve. Tickets as low as $25 to get into that. And January 1st, we're going to do a show, which is weird. And that's only going to be $20 to get into. And Friday night on Comedy Central, that's tonight probably, listen to it, but also watch it, the Benson Interruption with TJ Miller, Adam Carolla, and Graham Elwood. Holy shit, that was a lot of business.
It sounds like a lot of things for Doug Benson fans to be doing in the next couple of weeks.
They're going to be so busy that Christmas is going to come and go. They're not going to know what even happened. Mm-hmm. All right, so now you heard the voices of a couple of my guests and the laughter of the third. These guys are all basically have new podcasts on Earwolf.com. If you go to Earwolf.com, you can check out. They have a whole slate of podcasts, and you guys are three new ones.
Yeah.
Why don't we go around and introduce ourselves? And since I don't know the names of your podcast, so say who you are and what the name of your new podcast is.
Hi, I'm Drew Droege, and I think I'm talking too closely in the mic, and I have a podcast called Glitter in the Garbage on Thursdays on Earwolf.
And people are already calling it GITG, I see, on the internet. So that's why I don't know what it's called, because I see that more than I see what it's really called.
It's the new LOL of 2011. I'm going to call it. So instead of laughing out loud, they're just going to go, GITG.
That's like, what would you say GITG to, like, after you see, like,
something like
Christina Aguilera's vagina getting out of a limousine?
You got it.
And you go, GITG.
GITG, glitter
that's
in that garbage.
That's two GITG. All right, Paul Scheer, what do you got going on?
I have a show. It's a special show. We'll come on every now and then called How Did This Get Made?
Maybe monthly?
Yeah, maybe monthly, maybe twice a month, where we see a movie, we tell the audience to go see a movie, and then we just talk about that one movie.
A whole episode dedicated to one specific movie.
Yes, our first episode will be Burlesque.
Oh, and
so people have to see Burlesque.
And then you listen to us.
And then listen to it. I bet you it would be fun to listen to even if you haven't seen Burlesque.
I think you're
right. Like, if you mm-hmm. think you're going to hate Burlesque so much that you'd rather just hear people rip on it than have to actually see it.
Yes.
Then go ahead and just listen.
I feel like, you're not going to be lost. You're going to mm-hmm. almost be intrigued to go see it. And believe me, that movie is a shitstorm.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's amazing.
I saw it months ago at like a test screening. Yeah. And so people said that to me. They were like, I'd rather just hear your description of how bad the movie is than actually watch the movie.
It's like if Showgirls sharted, that would be Burlesque.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Showgirls, in its own weird way, is good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so
like
awesome.
Burlesque isn't. To me, Burlesque wasn't fun bad. It was just like Jesus.
It was
really
like PG-13 bad.
Exactly. It was like Sarah Palin made it because it was so lame. Yeah. It was so tame.
There's not enough titillation to keep you going.
Right.
And then the director was so terrible at directing the musical numbers.
Oh, you couldn't tell where anybody was.
You couldn't tell who was who or what was what. You couldn't just see an ass for a little bit or a tit or something.
And time didn't exist in that movie.
No, because Cher and Kristen Bell are supposed to be the same age. And
you're specifically really?
They're all this like Cher's always like, we built this club together.
Oh,
and it's like Kristen
Bell.
No, like,
that didn't know
I
that.
Love your impression of Cher. It sounds like the guy from Silence of the Lambs.
Also,
we built this club together. Now help me put this chair in the basket.
Cher
She's a real big girl, isn't she?
Cher also is a burlesque star who, when you see her perform, does no burlesque.
No burlesque.
She just
walks
stands on
but
stage.
But she does sing a song called Burlesque.
Yes, that is
which is what happens when
one
you
One of three
it.
Songs called Burlesque in the movie. So that's a little taste.
That's awesome. Our engineer today is also named Doug. He does that to keep it simple for me to help remember. What time did you think we started today on this Tuesday afternoon, December 20th? 3 o'clock straight up.
Wow.
Does that include the other stuff I recorded? Okay. See, now we're talking.
Yeah.
I think we started. I think
Do we
have started
to be right
about,
at an hour?
I think we started about 3:03.
Yeah.
No, I like to, I like to keep track of where we're at time-wise.
Yeah, so we don't get off.
So I get everything in that I need to accomplish.
How does this feel to you? It feels a little naked to me to do this show without the audience around.
Well, you've had that experience, but the other two guests have never done it in front of an audience.
Very comfortable, Paul.
So they may
really
think it's just fine.
All right.
Yeah, but it is different.
I didn't know anything until you said anything.
It is different, and most people that listen seem to, they appreciate it for some. I think they don't like sometimes the audience is like, I don't want to bring it up because then people will listen for it.
Right.
But I've heard a lot of complaints about there's a supposedly this one specific laugh that I never noticed when we're on stage doing it. But I guess when people listen to it, there's this one guy that they can't stand.
Oh, really?
They can't stand the sound of his laugh because he laughs too much and everything and seems to just be trying to get the sound of his laugh.
I have to tell you, I have an embarrassing admission to make. When I went to go see David Letterman, I tried to be that guy. I tried to inappropriately to get on camera.
Oh, my God.
It worked.
I have such a crazy laugh that one time I went to a taping of Saturday Night Live, and people told me they heard me in the audience, watching it on TV.
Oh, wow.
Who was the host?
Who was the host? Oh, Jamie Presley.
And I remember your laugh.
Yeah. Remember that fateful Jamie Priestley
episode? She on the Meet Joe Dirt publicity train?
I was
at
trying to
point?
Think what she was at the time. Maybe it was just for Earl.
Oh, okay.
My name is Earl, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Ago. People were very shocked that she was such an amusing actress.
Yeah. She was awesome.
But she's great. They had not seen really Torque, apparently.
Yeah, Torque was amazing.
And Howard Kramer is here.
Yes, hello. Now I can talk.
Yeah, you've been waiting this whole time to speak. It's very polite of you.
I didn't want to confuse the audience. I know they're already resetting their clocks to 3 to be in sync with the show.
3:03.
Hopefully they're not as anal as I am.
Yeah. Well, my name is Howard Kramer, and I have a new podcast called Who Charted?
Now, I love the premise of this show.
It's fun. We take aim basically at the top 5 of the charts, the music charts, movie charts, cool. Video game charts, and then we do a wild card chart of the week, which the guest brings in.
And it's a weekly?
Yeah, weekly thing. Comes
it's really
out
funny.
On Wednesdays.
I love it. Really good, yeah.
You heard it? Cool, thanks.
Both of you guys' shows.
Awesome. Oh, thank you. I've been a complete asshole.
I'm not going to listen to
Paul you. Listens to podcasts.
I listen to podcasts.
Paul likes them.
I like it.
Thank you.
I don't listen to them either, but, you know.
A lot of driving in L.A.
I'm sure these all sound great to me.
Yeah.
You may have converted me to more of a listener.
Yeah. Well, there's one every day now on Earwolf, Monday through Friday, yeah.
Yeah, they got Scarborough Country on mm-hmm. there. And
they got
and
Glenn Beck is doing a podcast.
The flagship, the flagship show, Comedy Death Ray Radio.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff to check out at Earwolf. And then I'm Lone Wolf. Doug Loves Movies is just out there on its own.
But doing very well.
Doing
yeah,
really
yeah,
well.
People yeah. seem to enjoy it.
America's favorite podcast.
And what's an example of a list that someone will bring in?
Like for instance, the last guest, or this one's coming out tomorrow, Kumail Nanjiani was on,
mm-hmm.
and he's a big horror fan, so he his list was top horror memorabilia. So we get to count down like the little, there's like a
like what would you like? Like Freddy's glove, what? Or what is it?
The top 5. It's just the top 5 sellers, the ones that selling the top 5 in America. Yeah, so it'd be like Freddy's glove. There uh-huh. was like a Rocky Horror Picture Show refrigerator magnet.
What?
That was like number 3.
Wow.
That's what America's buying, so that's what we talked about.
And these are real lists. These are not just favorites. They're literally right. by numbers.
Yeah, these are sales charts, you know.
Cool.
So music sales, movie sales, DVD sales, foreign DVD sales, whatever's selling. We'll talk about it.
My favorite memorabilia item that I've seen and purchased, and now a friend of mine is holding it for me in case I die or something, a little container of candy mm-hmm. With Freddy Krueger's face on it.
Ooh.
And he's got a shush going.
Yeah.
And it's and then it says right on there, "Be quiet, I'm killing people." On children's candy.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's so good.
Oh my God.
Witnesses obey that.
Be quiet, I'm killing people. Yeah.
My friend got the coolest thing of memorabilia. Apparently, the girl that he used to date was a art director on Big Lebowski and found out that he liked the Big Lebowski. And he's like, "Yeah, come into my garage. What do you want?" And they had all the stuff from the Big Lebowski.
Oh.
Just like, and he has the, like, whatever that award was. It was like the Fellowship Award awarded to whatever, the main Lebowski character. And he had to sign a document saying that he would never sell it, but it's in his house.
Wow.
And it's like right from one of the walls in the Lebowski.
Well, that's
movie.
Really cool.
Wow.
Yeah. I wish cool. I had something cool. Yeah, I don't. Do you have anything like that? Like a real piece of memorabilia?
No, I'm trying to think. I don't think anything.
I have the hat that Marlon Wayans wore in Don't Be a Menace to South Central.
Is it in like a Lucite case?
Oh my
no,
God.
I actually wear it all
Which
the time.
Which one is it? Is it when it's, he had, I remember his it's guns.
Like, it's like a black, long kind of stocking hat that has a baby pass.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I saw that movie before most of the real movies that it was parodying. And I remember in film class in college, we had to watch Menace to Society, and it just meant something totally different to me because I only remembered Don't Be a Menace. The
South Central
brother.
While you're drinking the juice in the hood.
Yeah.
That's horrifying that
Isn't
happened.
That sad? Isn't that sad?
That there's somebody like watching superhero movie and going,
what is Superman?
I'm intrigued by these things
I
now.
I know.
I'm going to go check them out.
But I saw Airplane before I saw Airport, and I have to say Airplane is better than Airport.
Oh, it is. That's a rare exception. Airport's so dry. It's so bad.
Poor Leslie Nielsen. Do you think they buried him with that? You know how he's always that going on talk machine? Shows with a fart thing?
I love that fart machine. Awesome.
He got it buried with him, probably.
I think if it was a true funeral, while they were giving a eulogy, someone would have played that fart machine. And I think Leslie Nielsen would have been like, yes.
He would have gotten it. He had even right. like,
the last
yeah.
fart.
He would have loved it. He would have liked it. There yeah. must have been some jokes at his funeral.
I hope God so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we leave this long, creepy pause. Yeah.
Well, I'm just pausing because I'm, you know, I'm busy with my mobile device because I'm trying to look up today the Golden Globe nominations.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
so many bad
and they
nominations.
They are insane.
Are so they really? I haven't seen them.
The
yet.
The Tourist for best comedy.
Oh, The Tourist.
It's not even trying to be a comedy.
Wait,
that's how dumb the Foreign Press Association is. They're just foreign best dummies. Comedy. They're just like, oh, Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie, and it doesn't look too serious. Yeah. It must be a comedy or musical.
Oh, my God. Also, True Grit got nothing. Breaking
really?
Bad got nothing.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, True Grit got screwed by the fact that the Foreign Press Association always comes out in mid-December uh-huh. with their announcement, and True Grit hasn't even come out yet.
Okay, but
so, has another thing.
But a lot really, of them have seen it, but they still it's a
they
weird
could nominate
it's
it.
A weird curse against it. No, they could nominate it, but it's just this weird thing that like a big movie that comes out unless it's like yeah. Sherlock Holmes,
right?
Unless it's
which
a great foreign, movie
yeah.
like
great
that,
film.
Then
yeah,
really. You have to nominate. No, because they have to fill those comedy categories. That's now, why the weirdest yeah. stuff slips in. But why not Jim Carrey and I Love You, Philip Morris?
Jim Carrey yeah. was incredible in that
it's
movie.
The comedy nominees, I got to yeah. look this he shit was, up. It's insane.
It's like burlesque.
Jim Carrey, I would give him an Oscar nominee. I literally made my list of top five male, and I would Jim Carrey's on my
good.
List. He was great.
I didn't like Philip Morris. I liked it more after I realized it was based on a true story. They saved that till the end.
No, they say that in the opening credits.
Oh, you see, when say, I saw this it happened, on an airplane,
it was based it was on a guy with a rubbery face.
No. And the opening credits now,
so
like, it says something like, this really happened. And it said, no, really, it did.
Oh, you see, I think what maybe in the farm.
Oh,
saw
yeah.
It
if I didn't think it was real, I would be like, this is the wackiest,
that's
stupidest
what I
thing
I was
I've
like
ever
the
heard.
Dumbest movie
no,
I've ever
no. It was real. I mean, that guy was,
yeah, was
really
totally
a
real.
crazy guy. But yeah, I thought Jim Carrey was great. What got nominated?
He didn't even get nominated. Johnny yeah. Depp got nominated for Best Actor in a Comedy. Angelina Jolie got nominated for Best Actress in a Comedy.
What?
She's
comedy.
Never tried never. To be comedy. In a comedy.
No, maybe they think it's a musical.
Except for Girl Interrupted. But it's just crazy.
Tomb Raider 2.
And then trying to find this shit on the internet is so irritating because, you know, everything you click on has some other stuff
well,
they want to tell you
people
about.
Are really talking about ScarJo and Ryan Reynolds' breakup today. That's
what? That happened today?
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it because she saw his Green Lantern suit?
She saw
that,
the trailer.
That CGI suit is
ooh,
ridiculous.
Boo, boo, boo. That movie. I remember I was at Comic-Con and they played, like, we hear some footage that we're going to play for you. And, like, it was so lackluster. And the audience is like, What is this? It looks so bad. It looks awful. And, you know, you have, who is it? Blake Lively.
Name? Blake Lively.
Who's a good actress to town. She's great in that. But then she's like some NASA fighter pilot.
It's like Christmas
oh.
Jones all over again.
Oh,
like, yeah. No.
Christmas only comes.
Wasn't that Denise Jones. Richards' name
yeah.
in that one James Bond movie?
Her name was Christmas,
Jones.
And that had the best closing line of a movie. It goes, I thought Christmas only came once a year.
Ew.
Yeah, like, just great.
Creepy.
Once a night.
I don't want to hear about Pierce Brosnan making Christmas
boning.
Come.
All right, I found it, you guys. Thanks for stalling. You know, Best Picture Drama, I can't complain about any of it. Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception.
I thought Black Swan was ridiculous.
Bad?
It's not really a drama. It's a melodrama. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's
I didn't
a crazy
think it was
movie.
Bad. But it was an art house showgirls.
Okay.
It was showgirls
ooh,
for
I can't
art
wait
house.
To see it.
I enjoyed it, every yeah. bit of it. But people are touting it as like this life-changing movie. And I'm like, at the end of the day, it's kind of stupid. It's kind of ridiculous, I thought.
I found it.
And I love The Wrestler, and I love Requiem for a Dream. This movie did
yeah,
none
yeah.
of that for me.
It alternates between creepy and boring. Because there's a lot of ballet in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
gotta watch a lot
you
of
like ballet.
Ballet? No.
And
then, you know, and then there's just a lot of creepy things that happen in it. There's a lot of weird...
I couldn't... Yeah.
And that's sort of the point of it, is that it's like what's real and what isn't.
Right, right.
But,
yeah.
you know...
Man.
But it didn't do it for you two.
No, it really
didn't.
I was
like,
I'm
going to
so
go to
excited.
Sleep and dream about Inception instead.
I was yeah. so excited to
this.
See it, and I got to say, it just like... I mean, yeah, this year I've been so surprised by what I liked and what I didn't like.
I might have been too pumped for it. I might finally badass ballet.
Everybody,
yeah.
Everybody in it is great, but I mean, I feel like as a it doesn't. There's this, you know, you have to go on this crazy wild ride. I was screaming laughing the whole movie.
Oh wow!
I was thoroughly, I was entertained.
That's good. I can say, lower my expectations.
I would say it was like, you know, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle, or what was that? What was that Judy Dench and Cate Blanchett movie that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That I
yeah.
thought was also great, but it's kind of trashy. Like,
oh, I don't remember that.
It's that sort of pulp. Notes on a
Scandal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has that feeling to me of just like, this is just fun. It was Whatever Happened to Baby Jane? It's camp. Oh, it's which it. I love, but I wouldn't say the Oscar the best, goes to
Black Swan.
You know.
Yeah. Requiem for a Dream is kind of like that too, where it's just like so over the
it's
top.
It's so overwrought. Yeah, all, that's his style. Because the wrestler is too, but
Ellen
bought
Burstyn
it.
Is nuts.
Ellen Burstyn's so good. In the
I saw Requiem for a Dream. I'll never see it again, only because
same with me.
When I saw it, they replayed the second reel of the movie twice.
No.
And so, like, you're watching it, and they're like, wait, I just saw this, right? And they're like, oh, this has to be artistic in some way.
Shit.
So, for like 45 minutes or a half an hour, you're like, wait, what is going on? Like, because they didn't acknowledge it, and and then all of a sudden it just went forward, and then afterwards they made an apology, and they're like, oh, sorry, we accidentally played the second reel of the movie twice. So that scene when, like, Damon Wayans has his, you know, Marlon Wayans has his arm cut off or whatever, that was like a really brutal section in the movie, and I was like, I was so messed up by that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't see it again just because of the movie.
Yeah,
no, I loved it. It maybe was my favorite movie that year. But I remember I sat through all the credits and just was like, I couldn't. It was just like, oh my god, yeah. Never.
I had a similar experience with The Tourist, the trailer. this series,
you
I
just
was watching,
sat there through the whole thing.
No, I was watching the trailer on my computer, and I had one headphone on my ear and the other one off. And they put all the dialogue in the right side of the headphone that I didn't have. So Johnny Depp gets on the train, and Angelina Jolie sits down, and they start talking. And they're just like, it looks to me like they're just whispering stuff. Like, they're not actually, reading each other's lips. So I'm like, this is actually kind of cool. Like, they're just reading each other's lips so no one else on the train will know what they're talking about. And then I put the other headphone
sound
on.
Sound design.
Like,
it's so quiet. Yeah.
Oh, you're like, oh, wait a minute. This is actually terrible.
By the way,
there's nothing cool going on.
Yeah. I feel like, Doug, your fans would like this. This is something I got obsessed with yesterday. Had you guys seen the Yogi Bear, the alternate ending of the Yogi Bear movie that some animator did?
Well, that's the thing. It's you know from listening to the podcast that TJ Miller and I have talked about the movie quite a bit. And so now everyone tweeted the link to me, like, I'm the guy to go to. And I'm sure TJ got it a lot too.
I got in trouble. Apparently, Warner Brothers called up my agent because I tweeted that out and it went crazy viral.
What? Everybody was sending it to everybody.
Yeah, and
tell us what it is.
What happened?
This animator who just saw the trailer of Yogi Bear decided he was going to animate a 2-minute sequence that parodied the end of the assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
Okay.
And so it's basically Boo Boo with a shotgun blowing Yogi Bear's brains out, and it's done with like amazing music, and it looks as if it is from the movie, like nothing.
Wow, how cool.
And it ends with this amazing shot of Yogi Bear as a rug with like a hey now you're an all star, like, and the credits are running, and it's amazing. But it
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I had to talk.
But the whole thing's pretty short, and that's the only reason to watch it is if you want to see Yogi Bear getting killed by Boo Boo with a shotgun.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's the best thing ever. But yeah, I got in trouble.
The guy did a good job animating it, but I don't know how he's going to not be in trouble for it.
Well, they can't take it down.
Well, how would you be in trouble for it?
Paul's going to be fine.
I'm fine. I just got yelled at. I was like, why would you put that out? Why would you support this movie? Support, you know, it's like, it was like, oh, I'm not supporting the movie.
Like,
I thought
it could hurt the movie.
Right.
And, like, anyone would not go. People who are going to go are still going to go.
Yeah, that's
and
that's
most
my
of them
point.
Don't even know about this thing.
Exactly.
This is for all the haters. This is for
people that
don't want to see it anyway.
People that are going
to
go see Yogi Bear are not going to
listen. I was
going to
go see it, and now I'm not going to go see it.
Oh, Howard.
I can't get over. I was reading an article today where someone was asking the same question. Like, what is this fascination with why do animals and humans need to interact for family fun?
Why
can't it just be about the fucking animals people with animals that don't speak
keep
to them?
About over the hedge.
Over the hedge. Over the hedge. They keep to themselves, you know? They're planning a heist. Toy Story. They keep to themselves.
Separate
fountains. They don't need to interact. Exactly.
Right.
Separate
Muppet
but equal.
Babe babies. You never see that woman's face.
Just the leg.
Just the Muppet
Even a
babies.
Little bit too much for my liking.
Oh, I know. I know. We've talked about this before.
Okay, so this yes, is a sorry. Golden Globe nomination category. It's an insane category every year when they do comedy or musical, because essentially it narrows it down to the musical that was made that year.
Exactly.
Maybe one or two. Ooh. And then the comedies are the more serious comedies.
Yes.
Right. You know, like American James, Beauty or something.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, something comedy. That's got some laughs in it, but it's not really a fucking comedy.
Yeah, it's not
so
a comedy.
So this is the nominees, the five nominees for comedy or musical. It's like insane. If aliens landed right now and this is all they knew about our culture, that we think these are comedies and musicals, it would be nuts. Alice in Wonderland, Burlesque.
What?
The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Great movie.
But it's not a comedy.
Really.
It's funny, kind
not really
of.
Not a comedy, but
it's
yeah,
not
sure.
a comedy.
Red.
What?
Yes, yeah. Red is nominated for Best Picture by an outlet of people that are supposedly know something about film.
That should be then. If Red is nominated,
that brilliant
Expendables
comedian
should be
Helen
in there.
Mirren.
Expendables is more fun than Red.
And then the fifth one is The Tourist.
Wait a minute. What about like the other guys?
What about the comedies that were made this last
like
year?
Real comedy.
The Other Guys was a great movie.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like
no,
but it's actually a comedy.
Right.
Like none of
like
these
a
are
comedy.
It's just a wasteland for the movie. That the musicals and the sort of comedic movies that we couldn't fit into Best Picture,
we'll
put them over there. It's kind of fun and
funny.
And
not even like you know, because normally they do something like Date Night or Due Date or one of those. There have been so many big ones.
There could be a million.
Yeah, Date Night got nominated in the comedy category by the National Broadcasters Association or whatever they're called. You know, the ones, the TV critics.
Okay.
The critics on TV, I should say. They have a million categories.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like all these awards are kind of like meaningless. I mean, the Golden Globes get a lot of attention, but when you're nominating Red should not, Red should not be nominated for best anything, right? I mean,
anything.
Yeah,
and I haven't even seen it. It looks like, oh, that looks entertaining. It looks fine.
Do you guys laugh at Kanye West when he comes to like get crazy about who's winning awards? Y'all sound a little Kanye, a little Kanye.
Yeah, but we're not stopping someone from winning a
separate
speech.
But I plan
what are we going to do if Tourist wins Best Comedy or Musical?
I'm camping out in the Beverly Hilton so that I can rush the stage when Red takes it for Best Comedy and not let them take
their
award.
Let's see if there's going to be a black nominee in the audience that we could nominate to run up on stage. It's not going
to
win.
Kids Are All Right was definitely
or maybe
win.
Alice in Wonderland, because Alice in Wonderland has its
I heard
fans.
That, yeah.
I didn't get it at all, but
it wasn't so good.
That really is like foreign press. Like it's like, oh, Alice in Wonderland. You know, it's like, and it's like Red. Yeah. These are all big foreign movies. Like they feel like big overseas movies. They don't feel like American films.
The Kids Are All Right is crazy American. A very American movie. I think that may be my favorite movie of the year.
Really,
I loved that movie. I thought it was really perfect. I thought it was just those all five of them in that movie were just incredible.
Yeah, I just can't, and they spoil it in the trailer, so I'm not giving away much, but I just don't completely understand the attraction between why Mark Ruffalo and Julianne Moore. Would
it was so quick.
I
didn't seem right, but other than that, I do agree, it's really good.
And I also had an issue with Annette Bening. I thought she was so incredibly harsh.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, man, I thought she... I
she
totally
was a ball breaker.
Her.
Yeah.
No
I was like, I know that one. I know her. I couldn't believe that. I mean, there's that... Her singing the Joni Mitchell at the table.
That was amazing.
My
that whole
God,
scene.
Unbearable.
I know.
Unbearable.
Oh, I know.
Like someone who behaves that way makes me insane.
Oh, I know. And
so it was fascinating to watch in a movie. You
know? Knowing what you know, what she doesn't know, and the whole reveal. It's just, I thought that was
I mean, that whole
gold.
Section is amazing. I thought Mark Ruffalo was
he was
insane.
Great.
Like, he's very good.
Because, God, how easy would it be to hate that guy in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
And I loved him.
But
I
he's
totally
also, like, the first time, like, why he's a charming asshole. Like, he's
able to, even when he's being super friendly, you understand why sometimes the character will be like, he's kind of douchey and full of himself, because he's got like a cockiness in the friendliness that is kind of, it's
and
interesting.
You totally believe this like big kid who can never, you know, like
well,
he did
scene
not
with,
be a dad. And
his scene with the hostess is so kind of brutal and like great, like when he's like telling her he's not, like he can't be with her. It's like, oh,
so awful.
Okay, so I'll just give you one more. Those were the pretty much the craziest ones, although this one's pretty crazy, too. They also have television nominees on the Golden Globes, and this one just cracks me up. Best performance by an actress in a drama series. You got, like, Juliana Margulies from her show, the Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men, Katie Sagal from the Gang show,
incredible.
Sons of Anarchy.
I love
Kira
her.
Kira Sedgwick, who always gets nominated because she does a crazy accent or whatever. But those five, those are you know.
Yeah.
Great solid actresses, good work, nice for them.
I'm glad Katie Sagal got nominated. She never gets credit for that show. She's so good on it, too.
But the fifth nominee, Piper Perabo.
What?
Yeah. What?
This is insane.
What?
For Covert Affairs.
For Covert Affairs.
For Covert Affairs.
I can't sit through the commercial without going, that's a ridiculous, lame show.
Covert Affairs that is sounds like a Shannon Twain lamer movie. Version of Alias. It's like Alias. It's like she plays a spy.
For what channel?
Like TBS or something
USA.
Like
Spies?
Yeah, USA. Yeah, USA.
Really?
Yeah.
Characters welcome.
Characters welcome.
Characters welcome.
Storylines, not so much.
God.
I'm doing a chart show.
Characters, welcome. Storylines, come over here.
Yeah, you can go over here.
Let's go around by. Let's go around by the side. We got to talk to you about something.
Piper Perabo.
But that's almost like as bad as what's her? The woman from the Sopranos, the wife from the Sopranos. I can't remember.
Oh yeah,
Edie Falco, who is an amazing actress, but nominated last year for best comedy, like best comedic actress,
playing the pill-popping nurse.
That's how they fit him in. Yeah. They just say, well, the show's kind of funny.
But everything is
such a
kind
dark
of
show,
funny.
Though.
I mean, ultimately. I mean,
the best drama is kind of funny.
Exactly,
of
yeah.
Jaws has some awesome laughs in it.
Right. Exactly. Awesome. Like, would you consider, like, it's Terms of Endearment?
Terms of Endearment? Definitely has.
Yeah,
I mean, like, that's not a
Jack
comedy,
Nicholson.
Right? I mean, well, we could blame James L. Brooks for that whole oeuvre dramatic comedy.
Exactly.
Rom-com.
But you would want to. I don't know why they separate them. I really don't. Because I feel like they should always have more nominees. It's always great to nominate people, but, like, to separate into a category, especially now, like what's a comedy, what's a drama, like should be the performance, not, you know. And I guess I comedy always gets screwed out of that because people don't credit comedy as being quality, but
it loses
still,
out.
Like,
but at least a great drama generally wins.
Yeah, I'd rather that.
You know?
Yeah,
and those great dramas often do have humor in them, so they're not. You know, in fact, the most humorless dramas usually don't win anything because they're just way too humorous.
You could argue if anything but The Kids Are All Right wins. That category is a travesty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like nothing counts. Travesty.
Absolutely.
I'd say it's just
but it's almost like rigged to just it's rigged to just give it to them.
To just give it to them. You know? Yeah.
Like last year, didn't The Hangover win? It was just like it was in a walk.
The Hangover won.
Because it was a terrible musical that year, and everything else was.
Now,
dumb.
Was anything else nominated from Burlesque? Like, was Cher nominated?
We don't even have time to get into it, but that's definitely.
I have to go home and look.
That's garbage glitter material right there.
Oh, yes. You'll hear about it.
G-I-T-G.
G-I-T-G.
I don't think the acting. I don't think any of the acting in Burlesque got nominated. But you know, like two songs from it got nominated.
Christina did 8. Cher did 2. Come on, there's a lot of options.
They never sang together.
No, odd.
Yeah,
weird.
Cher never really moved while she sang.
No. Also, Cher was shot from such a distance and in the dark. It seemed like someone had a mag light off camera.
And always like holding a bottle of Patron.
Yes,
she always
which
had
was
Patron.
A sponsor.
It must have been.
Yeah,
wasn't it? Okay, it had to be.
I read
it was
that
all over Patron. Did you guys hear that Out of Africa beat Do the Right Thing?
What?
What, really?
Yep.
What do you mean, Out of Africa beat Do the Right Thing?
Oh, yeah.
For Oscars.
Academy Awards, it won that year, Out of Africa.
Wow.
An insanely forgettable movie that has some of the worst, like, mat shot effects that I've ever
but
seen.
That's what I say. But that's what I say about Avatar. Avatar, great movie. No one wants to see that movie
again.
No one wants to see
it
again.
I saw it twice.
Some people
want to
live on that planet.
They can go.
I mean, it was beautiful. It was an amazing experience, but I'm there like, oh, let's pop an Avatar. The 5-hour cut. Let me watch that.
It's time to play a Leonard Maltin game, you guys.
Let's do it.
Right. I love that game.
That was a fun discussion. You do?
Yeah, I hate Natasha Leggero, and I love
I was telling the guys before the show that some people don't enjoy when Natasha Leggero's on because she doesn't play the game well.
Meanwhile,
or even pretend to be interested in it at all.
When I play this game live, I'm terrible. But when I'm in the car, I'm nailing it all the time. I'm like, I know this. Why am I on the show this week?
That's I'm excited to play. I'm excited to try it.
All right, we'll let Paul Scheer start, and then we'll come around this way, and in the order. And it's basically. And this is always good to do on the episodes where there isn't an audience, because the live audience is especially impatient with hearing the rules again. But it's basically like name that tune, but with movies and actor names instead of songs and notes.
Okay.
So you have to say, I can name that movie in X number of names. And then we read the names of the cast list from the bottom up.
Which makes it hard.
So it's hard.
Right.
It's most more obscure people or cameos.
Ken Watanabe.
Small roles.
Oh, yes. Last Samurai. Right?
Yeah, but if he's one of the first names you hear, oh, what did he have a tiny role in? Is what you have to ask yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll let Paul pick a category to get us started.
All right.
Would you like movies about movies?
Okay.
These are movies that are about making a movie.
That's going to be tough.
One-name movies where it's the title of the movie is either a first or last name only.
Okay.
And then Entertainment Weekly's best bad movie poll that they did recently. These are the best bad movies, which is a really weird way to describe something, so it's tricky.
I'm going to do, against my better judgment, movies about movies. I think it's going to be hard because there's going to be a lot of people in it, and that's going to be distracting. But I'm going to do movies about movies.
Okay.
All right. Would you like one from, and then we let the contestant, I'm getting a call from my agent. Then we let the contestant pick a year.
Yes.
Between three choices, 1952, 1978, or 1980. Movie from one of those years.
I'm going to say 1980.
That was a crazy year for movies.
Yeah.
It really was.
Big year.
It is. Yeah. You guys are giving too much away.
Oh, okay.
4 stars from Leonard Maltin.
All right. Ooh.
Can't say I disagree. I saw a preview screening of this movie, and everybody hated it, and they did a lot of work on it, and then it came out really great. Little extra background on this one.
Now, the winner could... okay.
What?
No, I was going to say, can you take the winner of the CDR auction to a preview screening, or it has to be a movie that's out? Because maybe, that could be exciting.
I think we're going to go see... I'm going to be on the East Coast when this podcast plops. I'll be out there, and I think we might go see Tron together.
I'm excited for Tron.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, this is from 1980. 4 stars from Leonard Maltin. And I already told you my story about it, but let me give you a couple of his little comments that he makes in his review. He says he calls it outrageous. Mm-hmm. And he says... this is kind of a weird thing to say and probably won't give it away, so I'll say it. Amusing score. The movie has an amusing score.
Okay.
And there are 9 names, and it's a movie about making movies from 1980. How many names do you think you can get it in, Paul Scheer?
I'm going to say 6.
All right, that's a nice opening bid. And we go over to Howard, and he can either name any number of less names that he thinks he can get it in, or he says, Paul Scheer, name that movie.
Oh.
So now, can you guess it in less than 6 names?
Yeah.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Do you get more information about the movie?
Just curious.
What's the title?
Just curious.
Okay.
You saw a preview screening of it?
Yeah.
In 1979?
Yeah, or 78 maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Where, in L.A.?
No, in San Diego.
Oh, all right. Okay. I will. I'm going to leave it to Paul. I think he's anxious to guess it, and I think he'll have fun trying to guess it. So I'm going to leave it to Paul.
That's an interesting way to play. Okay. 6 names. Philip Bruns.
Okay. Of course, the classic Philip Bruns. Mm-hmm.
I know exactly who that is. He was bald and often had a cigar in his hand or mouth in every character he played. Sharon Farrell.
Okay.
Blonde lady from that period of time. Alex Rocco. Alex Rocco.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can already name it.
Got shot in the eye in
Godfather.
Adam Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Who also was Alan Gurwitz for a lot of his career when he decided that Garfield was, trying to cover up his Jewishness.
Okay.
Is that 6 names yet?
I think it's 5.
Chuck Bale. That's a good clue, Chuck Bale.
You know it.
I think I know it.
And Chuck Bale, that's 6 names.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Chuck Bale.
I'm going to say these names did not help.
At all.
Alex Rocco is good. All right. Amusing score.
Music scores, movie about movies.
Movie.
1980.
All right, my guess.
4-star movie.
I'm going to go with my guess. I'm going to say Broadway Danny Rose.
Good guess.
I don't think they make a movie in that, but.
Okay.
They make a Broadway.
I thought maybe it would sneak in.
I'll give you the rest of the names, and then just anybody just say it when you know it. Barbara Hershey. Steve Railsback. And it starred Peter O'Toole.
My favorite year.
No, that's TV also.
That is
it's called The Stuntman. Oh, wow. Yeah, have you seen it?
No.
Is it good? Do watch it. It's crazy, and it's good.
I remember that I could never rent The Stuntman because it was rated R, and then on the back it looked like someone was having sex, and I always wanted to rent it.
It's very weird. The first cut that I saw, I did not like it at all. I thought, this movie's insane.
Because
it tries too hard to, like, there's a lot of scenes where something's happening, and it turns out they're just filming a movie.
Okay.
And they try to trick you a lot, and it's really complicated.
Who directed that movie?
A guy named Richard Rush, who's known for also doing Freebie and the Bean.
Ooh. I love that.
I saw that when I was a kid.
I just bought that movie. Because somebody said it was such a good movie. I have that
on
my shelf.
It's got some dark, it was supposed to be all fun and games as a kid, but it's got some dark stuff. I didn't see Stuntman because I'd already seen Hooper, and I thought, they're just covering ground as Hooper.
They kind of are, strangely enough.
Really?
Yeah. and Stuntman's got sexual comedic moments, and Hooper's got some serious moments.
Oh. Yeah.
And
we know how the Golden Globes
And they both have scenes where they do these elaborate stunts that there's no reason to shoot multiple stunts at one time.
Yeah.
Like, you have cameras that move, and you can reset and go shoot another stunt and pretend they happen one right after the other. Yeah, it's crazy. But I like both of those movies.
I wouldn't have gotten that one. So, all right, that was good.
So that means Howard Kramer, you got the point. See, that's a lot of this game is just making someone else guess it.
Because all right, great.
Once you throw down that gauntlet, they have to get it. So, Drew, we'll start with you.
Okay,
you get to pick a category. Would you like a category that's called In Theaters Now? That's movies that it's in theaters around the country as we speak, so it's kind of a tricky approach to go through. Someone called Ben Folds Fan wrote on Twitter that I should do Harry Potter actors in other films.
What other films have any of them
Rupert
been?
Rupert Grint.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, not when I say Harry Potter actors, it could be the entire cast of amazing actors that have been
Emma
in
Thompson
Harry Potter
and all those people. Oh, that's actually a great idea.
And then, but then also, speaking of big casts, movies with big casts.
I'll do movies.
Category.
Big I'll trouble. Do movies with big casts.
Okay, would you like one from 1963, 1981, or 2001?
I know this one.
I'll make it hard. I'm going to do 1980. I'll do 1981. Paul already knows it.
I know the 2001 one.
The 2001 one?
What did you think the 2001 one was?
Or, no, that was late.
That one with Tim Allen. I just said it. Big Trouble, right?
No, that's not it.
Can I say it?
Armageddon. No.
Wait.
I'm terrible with years. I'd never even try to guess based on just the year. But, okay, so we're going with 81.
1981.
This is a big cast movie.
Okay.
Leonard Maltin calls it a bomb on his scale of bomb to four stars.
Love it.
So, and bomb. He's older, so a bomb is not good.
Sure. It's not good.
His first line of the review is just what civilization needs. And then the last line of the review is followed by a sequel.
Okay.
Wow. 82?
And there are 81.
Oh, 81.
And there are
Stuntman 2.
There are 15 names.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's got a big cast.
Okay, let me I'll do it in I'll try it in 8. Eight names.
Ooh, that's a bold.
Yeah.
Is
I
that
like
bold?
That.
Yeah,
like cuz
that's cuz it's like the bottom half.
Like
okay,
that.
I'll
it's
try
a
it.
Good start, Paul.
I'll say 7. It? Keep it interesting.
Okay.
Howard,
I'm going to wait.
Howard Kramer from Who Charted.
From Who Charted on Earwolf. If these guys both miss it, I get the points?
Well, you would put me in the position to guess.
Yeah, you'd have to say, you guess, Paul.
Or you would guess.
Like you did last time, but he's going to get 7 names this time.
And then I would get an 8th name. Is that how it works?
No.
No, you're just you're waiting to hope it comes back around to you.
Oh.
All right, I give it to Paul.
Oh man, all he right. puts me in the hot seat again.
He's doing it again.
He might win. He might win the whole thing.
You can take this whole thing down by doing that.
I like it.
And there's no prizes.
No prizes.
This is bragging rights.
Although I'm playing for someone in the audience listening named Mike. So Mike, this is for you.
Was he in a hospital?
Yes.
Oh my.
I told him I was going to lose twice in a row. Here we go.
You get 7 names?
7 names.
I have confidence that Paul will get this.
All right. Oh, jeez.
Looking at these names. Mel Tillis.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jimmy the Greek Snyder.
I got it.
Oh, is it Cannibal Run?
Molly Picant.
Can't say it out loud.
Oh, I can't? Shit.
It was for Paul. Paul, he said name that movie to Paul, and then he's supposed to name
shit.
It.
Did I say
right.
it?
Did you I did,
say
but I'll
I'm
say
not going to say whether it's right or wrong or not. Let's just keep going. Bianca Jagger.
Yep.
Peter Fonda. Mm-hmm. Jamie Farr. Mm-hmm. Burt Convy.
Okay.
Yep.
What do you think it is, Paul?
Well, after much deliberation,
Cannonball Run.
But you would have gotten that, right?
Yes, you would have gotten that.
100%.
Yeah, I could have gotten that too.
When I heard Jimmy the Greek, I knew it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and one person challenges the person behind them, name that movie, then it's just for them.
Yes,
I get it.
Now. But in the last one, I probably confuse you by opening it up to everybody after we got through the first few names.
So now this time.
But that's just for fun.
I put it to.
No, this time I got the point because.
Yeah, so now it's going to. Right. Yeah, and he's the one that tried to get him to guess it, and then he guessed correctly. We're going to start with you again.
Okay.
To pick a category.
So I pick a category. And this is for me to guess, or is it? But
Howard doesn't get to pick a category?
Yeah, when do I get Howard to go? Gets one, right?
No, it's not. It's not distributed in that way. Howard's being penalized for having, say, name that movie to Paul and losing.
Oh, I didn't know I could get penalized.
You were just out of it.
Do I get penalized for screaming, Cannibal Run, like when I hear Jim Lee Reed?
We should just have... No, you're fine.
All right. Thank you.
But we got to finish.
All right.
So
I'll give you three more categories. These are repeats from earlier that weren't used. One-name movies. It's a movie title with one name. Best bad movies or in theaters now?
I'll take best bad movies.
Okay. Paul has a point.
Howard has a point.
Howard has a point. Drew?
Zero.
This is your chance.
I need my point.
Would you like one of the best bad movies from 2001... 1999 or 1997?
I'll say 99.
Okay. 99. I was kind of hoping you'd go for 2001.
There's some movie in 2001 with a big cast that's really bad that you really want us to say.
Y2K. But this doesn't have a big cast. Don't confuse it.
Okay, no, this is really bad. These are best bad movies. All right.
2.5 stars from Leonard Maltin, so he didn't think it was so bad.
Okay.
Let's see a couple things he says about it. He says that it's sometimes exciting. And he says that Ronnie Cox appears unbilled.
Oh.
Yeah, I always love that clue because generally when that happens, it's not very memorable.
Yeah.
What did Ronnie Cox do and why did he have his name taken off? Yeah. Of it? Why did he think, oh, I'm special, I don't need my name up there?
And why was it, why was that thing?
Why was that trivia?
In the review?
8 names.
Okay.
How many names do you think you can get it in? True Drogi.
I will do it in 5.
Host of Glitter in the Garbage.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
4.
That's Paul Scheer, host of...
How did this get made?
Why did this piece of shit happen? What's it called again?
How did this get made? That's actually close. That's good.
So how many did you say?
He said 4.
Four names. He thinks he can get it in 4 names, Howard.
But now,
if you say name that movie and he misses, that's for the win. You will win. Or you can say you can get it in less names, and then Drew can say that movie, or he could say less names.
If I don't say...
The bidding is supposed to go around the table. For some reason, you're always a stopper.
I guess so. So if I don't say I can name that in less names and 3 names, then I never get to play the game?
You might get. It might come back around to you.
It will?
Yeah, it depends on how...
Oh, how many rounds do you do?
Well, we have to...
This might come back around to you.
Okay.
Plus, also, if Drew gets gets the point, then you'll be in a 3-way tie, and we play to 2 points.
They're trying to beat me by taking the 3. But I'm going to do it. I want the challenge.
Yeah.
I'm going to take 3 names.
All right, so now Drew can either say name that movie or say less names that you think you can get it in.
So I would say name that movie to Howard, right?
Yes.
All right, name that movie, Howard.
All right. Okay, he was looking at me. I can confirm that
this
he said it
just for Howard.
This is great.
This is just Howard.
Okay.
This is 1999.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
3 names.
This is a movie, a bad movie?
2.5 stars for a best bad movie, according to EW and their readers.
Okay.
I almost said listeners. And it's sometimes exciting. And Ronnie Cox, we all know from RoboCop, appears in an unbilled cameo. And your 3 names are Aida Turturro from The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. LL Cool J from
I know
LL
this.
Cool J.
Mama Said Knock You Out.
And Stellan Skarsgård.
Ooh.
That's a pretty good 3 names,
I think.
Yeah,
I think I know this one.
All right. Hang on.
Hold up.
Bigger, deafer, my head is like a shark's fin.
What's the name of the movie?
Hang on. I know everything except the title. It's with the sharks.
It is unfairly generic.
I know it.
Shark soup, thin, great white, big and great.
You're just going to say words around the subject until you stumble into it?
I'm just this thinking out loud. Thinking out loud is my mental process.
I don't think you're going to get it.
It's a tough one.
I don't know why it would suddenly appear, because it's really...
It's really hard if you don't know it, if you don't have a clue.
It doesn't have the word shark in it.
No. Okay, I haven't got a clue. Just
it's not big fish.
I would say everybody be quiet, but then that's bad for radio, bad for podcasting. I know this. It's called Shark Station Shark Station Zebra.
It is a shark station.
Yeah, shark station. Shark. Samuel Jackson weaponized.
What is
sharks,
it, Paul?
Cancer
deep
sharks.
Blue.
Deep blue sea.
No, it's Deep Blue Sea. Now wait.
There was another movie called Deep Blue.
Oh, you're right.
Deep but blue now we have a three-way tie. We got to finish this. So let's do this. Who challenged who on that one?
I challenged Howard on that one.
Okay, so Paul gets to go. Paul gets to pick.
This is the first. Yeah.
Would you like in theaters now?
In theaters
Harry
now.
Harry Potter movies or okay? I like how fast you are. Okay,
I got
this
the
movie
to catch.
Leonard Maltin writes a longer review when it's a fresh movie on his the Leonard Maltin app. So I will not be giving you the number of stars because he doesn't play that out of the gate. He just gives a very thoughtful review, and he says that it this movie reeks with atmosphere.
Got it.
Oh.
Reeks with atmosphere.
Reeks with the atmosphere, and then he goes on to say of where. And then he also says, it's going to stay with him for a long time to come, this movie.
Wow, okay.
And there are 9 names, and it's in theaters now. How many names do you think you can get it in?
Reeks with atmosphere. 7.
It does not make you ask, why did this movie get made?
All right.
And it's gonna chart.
It's gonna chart.
Yeah.
Okay. So it hasn't charted yet.
Hey. You always want extra information.
I may kind of even. All right, you know, I already said my 7.
Yeah, 7. How many do you think you can do it in, Howard?
I will go 6.
Drew.
5.
3.
3. Says Paul.
If I leave him to 3 and he can't do it, I win the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You're poised to win.
I will say, Paul, name that flick.
All right, you get 3 names.
Here we go.
Deirdre Taylor.
Okay.
Erica McDonald.
Uh-huh.
And Bianca Hunter.
Ooh. True Grit?
No, but great guess, though. Oh. That opens on Christmas Day.
Yes.
And this might just be in theaters in Los Angeles. It might not be national yet. It might go national on the day this podcast comes out. And it's called The Fighter.
Oh.
And I'm sure those are like 3 of his sisters.
Yeah.
Because he has 7 sisters in it. Yeah. And it's really good. Christian Bale.
What were the
is
two
amazing.
Names? What were the two names above the Bianca Taylor? What were the names above that?
Just above that is Melissa McMeekin. So that's probably also a sister. Then Jack McGee, which is the dad.
Oh, I would not have gotten
then
that.
Melissa Leo.
Oh, there
the
you
mom.
Go.
Then Amy Adams, Christian Bale.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Wahlberg.
Fine try.
Wow. I liked it.
Came close.
All right, so Howard won. So you guys get to pick right down on this dry erase board somebody for me to call a shithead at the end of the show. You, Paul, and Drew get to do that. Okay. Listen to all their podcasts. Howard Kramer and Who Charted. And is there someone on there with you?
Oh, absolutely there is. Our keeper of the charts, no chart is sanctioned without her help, is Kulap.
Nice.
Kulap V.
Yeah. And then Paul Scheer's show is called Why Did This Get Made?
How Did This Get Made?
What the hell? What the fuck happened?
What the fuck
is the name of his show. and you
what
got Jason Mantzoukas is on there with you?
Yes, Jason Mantzoukas and June Raphael.
All right.
My wife. Okay, I'm going to just put this down.
Put down a name. And then Drew, your show is called Glitter in the Garbage.
Yes, it's called Glitter in the Garbage. And they're guests on every week. It's always
I don't
super
know.
Fun.
Is that
lots
the right
of
way he spelled it?
Yes, it is. And it made me laugh when you wrote it down.
All right. Let's do this. Thanks, you guys. Thanks to all of you for coming. And then if you could all scooch together as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to take a picture of you all so I can put it on the internet and
Delicious.
Show people what you guys look like. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, but he's in Burlesque, and his name's Cam Gijade.
Gande, I believe it's Shigande.
Jigande.
He wears eyeliner the entire movie.
I did not know. Yeah. I did not know how to pronounce it either.
He wears eyeliner and has lots of sex with girls with big boobs. And So that guy, Cam Gigaday, is a shithead, and Katy Perry is a shithead.
Rotten shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.